The Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 38, Indo-Tibetan Method of Healing. The Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 38, Indo-Tibetan Method of Healing. Once, while walking with the teacher along the riverbed of the right tributary of the Western Dagomis, we came to a place where the waterfall was covered with trees. Huge trunks of ancient beeches, piled one on top of another, blocked our path. Nearby, here and there, woody debris mixed with sharp blocks of stone could be seen. The obstruction was quite old because the surface of the trees had already been covered with soft green velvet moss. However, the trunks still looked strong. Some of them were in the water, but it seemed that this made the wood even stronger and harder, as if the hardships had only hardened its character. We stopped at the bottom and looked up at this obstruction, trying to figure out if there was a way to get between the fallen trunks of ancient beeches and horn beams. We could not see the tops of the fallen trees from here, just a jumble of branches, broken wood, and rough-edged rocks. I moved closer and touched one of the trunks. Its surface was hard and uneven. "This is an amazing place of healing," said the sage. "This tree takes away all kinds of illnesses. You need to touch it and be cleansed. At home, you need to be grounded for 10 minutes, holding a piece of iron stuck in the damp earth. Then the negative energy will come out of you. What causes all diseases, and how can we treat them?" asked Bivel. "All diseases are the result of a weakened immune system, and in order to heal a person, you need to strengthen their immunity, and it will heal the body."
"What causes the immune system to suffer?" Vadim asked.
"It stops working properly because of negative energy," the teacher replied. "This energy in humans is caused by negative emotions, first of all. Then from sins and from polluted environment. The mission of a healer is to remove this negative energy, negative karma from a person, and this is where grounding and other cleansing spiritual practices can help. Otherwise, the healer will remove negative energy from one person and transfer it to another patient, or suffer from it himself. Our mission with you is to help all the people of the earth out of love and compassion. The main thing is to bring good and fight evil. Illnesses and negative karma are one of the great evils that exist on our earth. And we must be warriors of light to save people from these troubles, even sacrificing ourselves. Since there is no other meaning to life other than helping people of the earth. And so, that you would be able to help as many people as possible with health, I will teach you the ancient Indo-Tibetan method of healing."
After resting at the base of the waterfall for a few seconds, we began to make our way up, carefully stepping on the fallen trees. The water trickled slowly down the steep stone slope. The long trunks of the beeches, which had been deteriorated by the elements, were very strong indeed and easily supported our weight. However, moistened by the waterfall, they were quite slippery. So, as not to fall off, we held hands and climbed over the obstruction, carefully supporting each other. The boys helped us on the steep sections, taking a stable position, leaning on some strong ledge and throwing us a rope. Together, we climbed up and found ourselves at the top of a waterfall covered with fallen trees. After walking a few meters forward, we came to a large flat area, in the center of which was a small, picturesque round lake. The clear blue and green water glistened under the sun rays that penetrated to its surface through the sweeping crowns of hornbeams and beeches. On all sides, the lake was surrounded by layered stone slabs, which in this place did not reach more than a meter in height. Despite the fact that we had already seen many beautiful mountain lakes, this place could not leave us indifferent. There was an extraordinary atmosphere here. It seemed that every inch of space was saturated with light, ringing energy. Fascinated, we stood still, enjoying the sounds of the rippling water. Here, the guru showed us how to tune in to him before healing. We needed to run our hands 3 times along the patient's spine and then squeeze the palms and imagine the bright face of the teacher. I will feel the patient's energy that you have collected from the spine and give him the missing energy through you. Then the great sage showed us movements to remove negative energy and fill the person with healing energy. At the end, he showed how to give a person a suggestion for healing. After the practice we had just received near the lake, we were all very excited and wanted to continue to learn how to connect to the energy of the teacher and use it to treat the sick, those who needed it. Reflecting on the sacred knowledge, we moved on along the picturesque gorge. From time to time, we stopped to meditate at waterfalls of various sizes, bathed in lakes, plunged into their icy waters, and contemplated the amazingly beautiful nature. So, we got to the end of the fairy gorge. On the way back, we climbed the Null Pass. Here, we had an amazing view of the Shak River, Mount Fisht, and other mountains that stretched majestically in the distance. On the horizon, they were shrouded in a lilac haze that transitioned seamlessly into the blue of the sky. Just below us on the mountain side, bright green tea plantations stretched in parallel strips. We sat on a slightly sloping platform overlooking this stunning scenery, from which a trembling feeling of soaring delight spread inside. Here, the teacher conducted our initiation into healing, connecting each of us to His energy. Bring love, kindness, and light to all the people of earth. This is my commandment to you. This is your purpose in this life. Now, we will go to the home for disabled children and treat them with the Indo-Tibetan method of healing, saving these poor people from ailments.
Why do children suffer? Asked Nata. I mean, they haven't had time to sin.
They bear the karma of the lineage, which we will remove from them.
We filled trunks full of gifts for the kids and drove to home of the disabled. Before that, my brothers, sisters, and I had visited orphanages with healthy children many times, but this was the first time we were in a home for the disabled. What we saw was difficult to take calmly. A sharp needle of pity shot through my heart as I looked at these poor little ones, exhausted by illnesses, abandoned, crippled, doomed to constant suffering. Parents refused them. They did not have the patience and desire to bother with the sick and retarded. Some were sometimes visited, while others were left to the mercy of fate. It was scary. I literally felt with all my being the heavy energy that was spilled here in every inch of the space. These children were really special, and they needed a special approach. Some could not even get up from their chairs on their own, or could not bring a spoon to their mouth properly without splashing its content. One girl looked to be 7 or 8 years old, but she could not read or write. It was only later that we learned that she was actually 15, but due to her illness, her development, both physical and mental, was severely delayed. There were many children of different ages, and they all had their own illnesses and peculiarities. On the faces of some of the boys, a perpetual foolish grin was frozen. Others generally looked through us somewhere into the void. Some had deformed and weirdly curved limbs, abnormally skinny legs, and emaciated weak bodies, hypertrophied heads, features distorted by disease. I was struck by the kindness and love with which the teacher communicated with the children. How much he wanted to help them. These children suffered from different diseases and reacted differently to our arrival, but all of them were equally in need of love, caring hugs, and warmth, and of course, in healing. The teacher generously gave them his attention and love. The children were drawn to it intuitively, feeling this warmth and light. We spent a lot of time with sick children, giving them presents, as well as conducting healing according to the Indo-Tibetan method, connecting to the energy of the sage. After the first session, many children felt much better. We noticed this
by their changed behavior, a clear expression, peace, and inner harmony appeared on their faces. Those who were clenching their teeth and suffering from pain relaxed and smiled happily. Those who were agitated and aggressive looked calm and friendly. They started talking to us enthusiastically. And many of them even asked us questions and told us about themselves. We finally saw genuine joy in the eyes of the kids. There were so few good things in their lives, so few good and bright moments. The children reached out to us, feeling that we could give them the warmth and healing they so badly needed. And then we decided to give the children a real holiday, entertaining them with singing in theater. We all sang funny songs together and showed simple scenes, seating the children on chairs and benches in the large hall. It is difficult to convey in words the feeling that I had when I saw how vividly these sick children followed our amateur performance. They were laughing loudly and sincerely. Some even tried to sing along and move in time with the melody. These smiles and ringing laughter were the best reward for me. When we left, the children did not want to let us go. During this day that we spent in the orphanage, the children had apparently received more impressions than they had received during the entire year of their stay here. In the evening, I felt bad. I had some uncomfortable condition. But in the morning, after sleeping, it passed. I asked the teacher about it. You felt the negative energy of these children and their karma of the lineage. Why did it go away in the morning? I asked. It's because, Roxana, at night, when my body is asleep, I fly in my astral body and watch all the students and remove the negative energy from them, especially from the healers. How bad all this negative energy must make you feel, I said. What can I do? Said the teacher. That is my mission, to take on all the karma of the earth, to save as many people as possible, to heal, to direct them to the spiritual path. By the grace of God, I am still able to do this, and you, my students, can help me in this difficult task. Then I realized how much love and compassion the Guru has to perform such a feat. How great his mission was, how much all the people of earth needed him, although many did not know about it. We continued to do the sessions of the Indo-Tibetan method of healing in that orphanage. Every time I went there, my heart once again shuddered with pity. I wanted so much to help them, to ease their suffering, to get rid of the ailments. We all really wanted this. The children were waiting for us, each in their own way. They were happy to see us. We systematically did healing sessions, and oh my, many kids started to feel much better. And their serious illnesses disappeared. Some needed more sessions, some less, but the changes were visible to everyone. We saved a lot of children who had been turned away by the doctors. Then I realized that the Indo-Tibetan method of healing was a panacea for all diseases. I was grateful to the teacher for giving us the opportunity to practice healing and help these children who were forced to bear the cross of the family curse. These children were innocent, pure, and sincere. They needed the support and care that their parents, who had turned their backs on them, could not give. They needed help that the doctors could not give them, most of which did not care. It was a great joy to watch the sick children recover, and all this was given to the earth by our beloved teacher. Once, while walking with the teacher along the riverbed of the right tributary of the Western Dagomis, we came to a place where the waterfall was covered with trees. Huge trunks of ancient beeches, piled one on top of another, blocked our path. Nearby, here and there, woody debris mixed with sharp blocks of stone could be seen. The obstruction was quite old because the surface of the trees had already been covered with soft green velvet moss. However, the trunks still looked strong. Some of them were in the water, but it seemed that this made the wood even stronger and harder, as if the hardships had only hardened its character. We stopped at the bottom and looked up at this obstruction, trying to figure out if there was a way to get between the fallen trunks of ancient beeches and horn beams. We could not see the tops of the fallen trees from here, just a jumble of branches, broken wood, and rough-edged rocks. I moved closer and touched one of the trunks. Its surface was hard and uneven. "This is an amazing place of healing," said the sage. "This tree takes away all kinds of illnesses. You need to touch it and be cleansed. At home, you need to be grounded for 10 minutes, holding a piece of iron stuck in the damp earth. Then the negative energy will come out of you. What causes all diseases, and how can we treat them?" asked Bivel. "All diseases are the result of a weakened immune system. And in order to heal a person, you need to strengthen their immunity, and it will heal the body."
"What causes the immune system to suffer?" Vadim asked.
"It stops working properly because of negative energy," the teacher replied. "This energy in humans is caused by negative emotions, first of all. Then from sins and from polluted environment. The mission of a healer is to remove this negative energy, negative karma from a person. And this is where grounding and other cleansing spiritual practices can help. Otherwise, the healer will remove negative energy from one person and transfer it to another patient, or suffer from it himself. Our mission with you is to help all the people of the earth out of love and compassion. The main thing is to bring good and fight evil. illnesses and negative karma are one of the great evils that exist on our earth. And we must be warriors of light to save people from these troubles, even sacrificing ourselves, since there is no other meaning to life other than helping people of the earth. And so, that you would be able to help as many people as possible with health, I will teach you the ancient Indo-Tibetan method of healing.
After resting at the base of the waterfall for a few seconds, we began to make our way up, carefully stepping on the fallen trees. The water trickled slowly down the steep stone slope. The long trunks of the beeches, which had been deteriorated by the elements, were very strong indeed and easily supported our weight. However, moistened by the waterfall, they were quite slippery. So, as not to fall off, we held hands and climbed over the obstruction, carefully supporting each other. The boys helped us on the steep sections, taking a stable position, leaning on some strong ledge and throwing us a rope. Together, we climbed up and found ourselves at the top of a waterfall covered with fallen trees. After walking a few meters forward, we came to a large flat area, in the center of which was a small, picturesque round lake. The clear blue and green water glistened under the sun rays that penetrated to its surface through the sweeping crowns of hornbeams and beeches. On all sides, the lake was surrounded by layered stone slabs, which in this place did not reach more than a meter in height. Despite the fact that we had already seen many beautiful mountain lakes, this place could not leave us indifferent. There was an extraordinary atmosphere here. It seemed that every inch of space was saturated with light, ringing energy. Fascinated, we stood still, enjoying the sounds of the rippling water. Here, the Guru showed us how to tune in to him before healing. We needed to run our hands 3 times along the patient's spine, and then squeeze the palms and imagine the bright face of the teacher. I will feel the patient's energy that you have collected from the spine and give him the missing energy through you. Then the great sage showed us movements to remove negative energy and fill the person with healing energy. At the end, he showed how to give a person a suggestion for healing. After the practice we had just received near the lake, we were all very excited and wanted to continue to learn how to connect to the energy of the teacher and use it to treat the sick, those who needed it. Reflecting on the sacred knowledge, we moved on along the picturesque gorge. From time to time, we stopped to meditate at waterfalls of various sizes, bathed in lakes, plunged into their icy waters, and contemplated the amazingly beautiful nature. So, we got to the end of the fairy gorge. On the way back, we climbed the Nal Pass. Here, we had an amazing view
of the Shark River, Mount Visht, and other mountains that stretched majestically in the distance. On the horizon, they were shrouded in a lilac haze that transitioned seamlessly into the blue of the sky. Just below us on the mountain side, bright green tea plantations stretched in parallel strips. We sat on a slightly sloping platform overlooking the stunning scenery, from which a trembling feeling of soaring delight spread inside. Here, the teacher conducted our initiation into healing, connecting each of us to his energy. Bring love, kindness, and light to all the people of Earth. This is my commandment to you. This is your purpose in this life. Now, we will go to the home for disabled children and treat them with the Indo-Tibetan method of healing, saving these poor people from ailments. Why do children suffer? Asked Nata. I mean, they haven't had time to sin. They bear the karma of the lineage, which we will remove from them. We filled trunks full of gifts for the kids and drove to home of the disabled. Before that, my brothers, sisters, and I had visited orphanages with healthy children many times, but this was the first time we were in a home for the disabled. What we saw was difficult to take calmly. A sharp needle of pity shot through my heart as I looked at these poor little ones. Exhausted by illnesses, abandoned, crippled, doomed to constant suffering. Parents refused them. They did not have the patience and desire to bother with the sick and retarded. Some were sometimes visited, while others were left to the mercy of fate. It was scary. I literally felt with all my being the heavy energy that was spilled here in every inch of the space. These children were really special, and they needed a special approach. Some could not even get up from their chairs on their own, or could not bring a spoon to their mouth properly without splashing its content. One girl looked to be 7 or 8 years old, but she could not read or write. It was only later that we learned that she was actually 15, but due to her illness, her development, both physical and mental, was severely delayed. There were many children of different ages, and they all had their own illnesses and peculiarities. On the faces of some of the boys, a perpetual foolish grin was frozen. Others generally looked through us somewhere into the void. Some had deformed and weirdly curved limbs, abnormally skinny legs, and emaciated weak bodies, hypertrophied heads, features distorted by disease. I was struck by the kindness and love with which the teacher communicated with the children, how much he wanted to help them. These children suffered from different diseases and reacted differently to our arrival, but all of them were equally in need of love, caring hugs, and warmth, and of course, in healing. The teacher generously gave them his attention and love. The children were drawn to it intuitively, feeling this warmth and light. We spent a lot of time with sick children, giving them presents, as well as conducting healing according to the Indo-Tibetan method, connecting to the energy of the sage. After the first session, many children felt much better. We noticed this by their changed behavior, a clear expression, peace, and inner harmony appeared on their faces. Those who were clenching their teeth and suffering from pain relaxed and smiled happily. Those who were agitated and aggressive looked calm and friendly. They started talking to us enthusiastically. And many of them even asked us questions and told us about themselves. We finally saw genuine joy in the eyes of the kids. There were so few good things in their lives, so few good and bright moments. The children reached out to us, feeling that we could give them the warmth and healing they so badly needed. And then we decided to give the children a real holiday, entertaining them with singing and theater. We all sang funny songs together and showed simple scenes, seating the children on chairs and benches in the large hall. It is difficult to convey in words the feeling that I had when I saw how vividly these sick children followed our amateur performance. They were laughing loudly and sincerely. Some even tried to sing along and move in time with the melody. These smiles and ringing laughter were the best reward for me. When we left, the children did not want to let us go. During this day that we spent in the orphanage, the children had apparently received more impressions than they had received during the entire year of their stay here. In the evening, I felt bad. I had some uncomfortable condition, but in the morning, after sleeping, it passed. I asked the teacher about it. You felt the negative energy of these children and their karma of the lineage. Why did it go away in the morning? I asked. It's because, Roxana, at night, when my body is asleep, I fly in my astral body and watch all the students and remove the negative energy from them, especially from the healers. How bad all this negative energy must make you feel, I said. What can I do? Said the teacher. That is my mission, to take on all the karma of the earth, to save as many people as possible, to heal, to direct them to the spiritual path. By the grace of God, I am still able to do this, and you, my students, can help me in this difficult task. Then I realized how much love and compassion the Guru has to perform such a feat. How great his mission was. How much all the people of earth needed him, although many did not know about it. We continued to do the sessions of the Indo-Tibetan method of healing in that orphanage. Every time I went there, my heart once again shuddered with pity. I wanted so much to help them, to ease their suffering, to get rid of the ailments. We all really wanted this. The children were waiting for us, each in their own way. They were happy to see us. We systematically did healing sessions, and oh my, many kids started to feel much better, and their serious illnesses disappeared. Some needed more sessions, some less, but the changes were visible to everyone. We saved a lot of children who had been turned away by the doctors. Then I realized that the Indo-Tibetan method of healing was a panacea for all diseases. I was grateful to the teacher for giving us the opportunity to practice healing and help these children who were forced to bear the cross of the family curse. These children were innocent, pure, and sincere. They needed the support and care that their parents, who had turned their backs on them, could not give. They needed help that the doctors could not give them, most of which did not care. It was a great joy to watch the sick children recover, and all this was given to the earth by our beloved teacher. Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazonone.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.